This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, The Treasure Within, and the author is Reem Reno, and Reem joins us now on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Reem.
Hello, Steve. How are you?
Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve, for having me.
You say, before discovering the world, it's more exciting to discover the incredible world within your inner being. And that's what we're going to talk about. This book of yours, The Treasure Within, it helps people achieve their goals and attain abundance and health and wealth and inner peace and happiness. Why did you write the book? What happened? What was your motivation, Reem?
Well, some people write for most of their life, but in my case, it's more of a twisted story. I believe that the tough ordeal I have been through in recent years inspired me to write this book in order to reach out to as many people as possible. That is when my husband was diagnosed with cancer, and at that time, I knew I only had two options, either keep my family together or fall apart. Then, with courage, strength, and a lot of self-exploration, I overcame many obstacles leading to my own spiritual awakening. Of course, not being a writer at that time, my intention wasn't to write a book. To me, writing was a means of self-expression, relief, and healing. After a while, though, I ended up acquiring positive, transformational, and inspirational tools that inspired me to write The Treasure Within. Following my rebirth, I came to the conclusion that my purpose and mission in life is to help people achieve their full potential and live happy, abundant lives.
Who would you say, Reem, your book appeals to and why?
Essentially, the book can serve people who are searching for happiness, inner peace, seeking a deeper understanding of themselves, and aiming to reach their goals. Steve, to be honest, the book has a variety of topics, so I think it appeals to many people. Most importantly, though, people who may be stuck in patterns of negative attitude and negative outcomes, or people going through tough times, people directly or indirectly affected by diseases such as cancer. Also, it appeals to people seeking to reach their goals. People who may suffer from stress or feel that something is missing in their life. But of course, it's also suitable for people looking to improve their lifestyle, to rise above and begin living abundant, high-quality lifestyle, better themselves, whether they are successful or not. You don't necessarily need to be in a bad situation to want to improve your life. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, I believe that people who are seeking to improve their life should read my book because it's a guidebook about finding a better way of living. It outlines a road to spiritual awakening and guides the readers to unlock secrets of their limitless potential. It uncovers how to unlock and tap into your limitless natural self-healing abilities, inner beauty, and your essence of peace, love, joy, and abundance. It also reveals ways to enjoy a healthy diet and lifestyle to help you achieve your ideal body. In my book, you will learn how to pave the road towards achieving your goals and attaining a success and prosperity mindset. You know, the book is centered on the law of attraction and fully explains how to apply it and live with positive energy in your daily lifestyle. You also learn ways of getting rid of stress, solving problems, and seeing how powerful it is to live in the now and go with the flow. This last point affected a lot of people, Steve. They may or may not realize it, but it's truly life-changing. Also, you will find fantastic tools to discover the miracles within you and master the art of living. But most importantly, this transformational journey has a strong message of love, compassion, forgiveness, and unity.
What's one thing you want your readers to learn from your book?
The key message that I would like readers to take away is that the treasure we are seeking is not out there. It's closer than we think. It's right here, within our inner being. I believe that before discovering the world, it's more exciting to discover the incredible world within our inner being. You know, our strengths, abilities, potential, value, and beauty all result from the precious treasure within us. Basically, we achieve our real power when we become aware of the real value of ourselves and when we discover and use the strength rooted within our hearts and minds. Inside this book, you will find the golden keys to unlock the real treasure within you.
What scenes in your book or characters would you like to highlight while as we talk about your book?
I would like to highlight that this guidebook is designed to take you into a journey unraveling simple, transformational, and inspirational tools to improve your life. The journey starts by diving deep inward, seeking our truth as human beings in order to discover and build our value, inner peace, beauty, love, happiness, and of course, self-image. Written based on a personal experience and as a journey, the reader becomes as much part of the book as I am. The journey highlights the powerful tools within you and how to use them for transforming your life or for dealing with different life challenges, whether on an emotional level or on your path to success. Steve, many people may wonder, how can we stay happy and relaxed? The Treasure Within journey is about digging deep within, searching for the answer. So, allow me to invite all of you listeners to discover this journey and take matters into your own hands today.
How would you introduce your book if you were talking to a friend in a sentence or two?
I would introduce my book this way. The Treasure Within is a transformational journey into discovering your gems, achieving self-empowerment, overcoming limitations, unlocking your full potential, and fulfilling your life. I can't think of a better way to introducing it to a friend.
Tell me how your book, The Treasure Within, is unlike others with similar topics. You know, what sets it apart?
Yeah, because I really wanted my book to be reachable to everyone, from heart to heart. I follow the simplicity of expression and writing. I believe this is what people need and are looking for. I express everything in a way that would help the reader connect with ease to the different topics of the book. This diversity of subjects gives readers different self-development aspects and perceptions to connect with, depending on their personal situations. Also, something I heard repeatedly from few readers that read my book is that they found the simplicity in delivering the message in it as a main element that kept them reading on and on. And most importantly, the reading experience created positive feelings of love, comfort, and understanding. There is one reviewer I always like to reference. She said, "Your book cures the negativity with messages of love, and this is a much more reassuring technique to correct one's mind."
Your book really doesn't take place in a unique place on the earth, or it really doesn't matter when it happened, right?
Yeah, as you know, Steve, the book is not about my life story, but it's a result of my spiritual awakening that happened to me after my husband was diagnosed with cancer. That was in Montreal 3 years ago.
What three words would you say best describe your book, even the characters?
I think, Steve, the best three words that describe my book are the words of the title, The Treasure Within. I would add, if I may though, My book is simple, yet rich, comforting, and enlightening.
What would you say was the most challenging part about writing your book, and what was the most fun and rewarding?
You know, Steve, the most challenging part for me about writing this book was the fact that I never wrote before. It's my first book. When it comes to accomplishing something, I believe it's all about giving it your all. I devoted a lot of time and energy towards every step in putting this book together. This was the most challenging part, and the results go hand in hand with the message that I am trying to convey in my book. In other words, when you believe, nothing is impossible. And the most rewarding part is that I have finally found myself. I found my soul, got in touch with my inner being, and the birth of a new me, the person I wanted to be. Most importantly, I got the chance to put my heart and soul into accomplishing something that would serve and benefit others, which is so rewarding as well. In the end, Steve, this book is so special to me because it's my purpose and awakening.
Is there anything else we haven't covered, Reem, that you would like to share with us that you feel is important for people to know about your book?
Yeah, sure. I feel that it's important for people to keep this in mind. You are the master, and your subconscious mind is your obedient servant. The book explains how to work on your belief system and mindset to achieve self-empowerment and to overcome limitations and negative beliefs in order to achieve what you want. By being able to control your subconscious mind, you can change and control many aspects of your life. Once again, nothing is impossible when you believe. The key here is to have the strong belief and awareness that you are the controller and programmer of your subconscious. So take the next step and become your own master.
Well, tell us about the websites where we can get your book.
Yes, my website is www.reemreno.com. That is REEMRENO. And you can also get a copy online on my site, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and most of your other favorite online retailers.
Well, thank you so much, Reem, for joining us on Indie Book Publishing.
Thank you so much, Steve, for having me. I appreciate it.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Balboa Press.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, everybody. This is Pete Six of Beatles and Beyond. Why don't we all come together and hear some of the tracks off the latest Beatles release on this radio station? Yes, why don't you look up the schedules on this radio station and join me and Beatles listeners everywhere to hear the latest releases from the Beatles on Beatles and Beyond with Pete Dix.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Do I Need It? And if I do, answer to all your questions about plastic surgery. And the author is Francesca Camp. And Francesca joins us now on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to you by Archway Publishing. Hello, Francesca.
Good morning. Hello.
Great to have you with us. That's the big question. We all know a little bit about plastic surgery. Of course, the media plays it up big with the movie stars and others that sometimes are a bit extreme for us. But it's really, as you point out, it's amazing the amount of people that are having it done, and sometimes you don't even know they had it done.
Well, you're correct. Actually, as I would say, great work, good work. You'll never know someone had anything done. But unfortunately, with the media, they tend to just focus on all the bad work, the extremes.
Yeah.
And it's such a small percentage when you look at how many people have had a type of procedure in the past year. The figures are about 14 million people just here in the U.S. had some type of cosmetic procedure. So people are doing this, obviously, and it's a very big business. And people know a little bit about it, but they don't know enough, what I've found over the years working in my practice.
And thus your book, to help us better understand kind of a behind the scenes, even from a person who had plastic surgery, and you'll tell us how that happened. But why don't you give us a little about your background, Francesca, and, you know, then how the book came about?
Sure, that's a great question. Actually, I am a psychotherapist by profession. I am an MSW, and I have my PhD. And I did not start out in plastic surgery, especially back then. Today, you can. But I was working with burn patients, and I really needed to understand and help them. And I was offered a fellowship in Chile at a burn center. And when I was down there with hands-on experience, learning about skin and healing and dealing with patients, I had my, as they say, aha moment when I realized if a person looked a certain way physically to the outside world, I could never treat them internally, mentally. So I realized that beauty wasn't really vanity. It's just an instinct, a basic instinct that people want to be seen to look well and not different. So that morphed into what I'm doing today.
Now, you were involved in a 5-car accident. My goodness. And and that introduced you to plastic surgery beyond measure.
Yes, it did. I came back from South America, and I was still in school. And unfortunately, as you said, I was a 5-car pileup, which was not fun. And the steering wheel and my face was not pretty. And I was in need to find a doctor. I was, you know, taken off to the hospital, but I had to heal. And at the time, I was in my early 20s. I did not know plastic surgery or a surgeon of that caliber. I had a dear friend, and he was a very famous makeup artist here in Manhattan, and he said, I have the best person, one of the best in New York, and was, and this very southern gentleman just took my hand, and he reassured me. He's like, darling, you're going to be just fine. Just give me the time, and he put my face back together. So I knew what it was like to be a patient looking and not fitting in, especially at 20 years old. And but as life would be so serendipitous, we became friends because it was more than one surgery, and I was living at that office. He knew my background, and he offered me a job in his pre- and post-care center to help counsel his patients. And that's how my career, I fell into my career.
Well, and because of that, you have answers to a lot of questions, and let's cover a few of them. Let me pose some of these that are in your book. And the big, basic, bottom line question, do I need plastic surgery?
Well, people, you know, that's always like a top 10 Letterman list. There's a list when people come to see me, because I see patients before they have surgery sometimes, or they don't know where to start. And ultimately, that question always comes up, do I need it? And sometimes you don't need it. And I do tell people that sometimes it's like, okay, put the cookie down, step away from the table, and let's get you in the gym, and let's work you out. Or let's, maybe you just need a makeover. Maybe you don't need to do something so extreme, but sometimes maybe you do. And if you do need to do a procedure or a plastic surgery, let me arm you with all the ammo that you're prepared for.
So how, once you decide that you need something, and it could be very, very, well, I don't even know what to call it because I don't know all the buzzwords in your industry. But right. For example, as you mentioned before we started this interview, you talked about how men discovered Botox.
Well, actually, I feel Botox really changed the face of cosmetic / plastic surgery, because at one time when people thought about it, it was just for the movie stars or, you know, high society. It was very separate, and, you know, only a small handful would do this. And when Botox, you know, came on the scene, it changed the face of the cosmetic world, because my patients went from the socialite, world leaders and Hollywood are my patients, but now I have their housekeepers, their nannies, their teachers. So it opened up to everyone, and to men especially, when the dot-com era started. That's where men started thinking, hey, I have, you know, my hair is a little gray, or I have some crow's feet. I better do something about it. And they did not know where to go.
Now, when we think of plastic surgery, as we already mentioned, because of Hollywood and because of the media, and, you know, God rest her soul, but Joan Rivers kind of jumps out at us because she kind of went to the extreme. And she even made fun of herself. You know, I mean, she wanted to look young, and I don't know what she looked like afterwards. I mean, she certainly looked a lot younger, but, you know, it was a kind of a distortion, wasn't it?
Correct. I mean, yes. And unfortunately, she just passed away, and I had the opportunity to know Joan, a wonderful person. But she always was very upfront about it. And, you know, she would just say, I'm more plastic than whatever. And that is the extreme. And every time in the media, television, anytime there's an article or a story on this subject, they always show the extremes, the person who wants to look like a cat or, you know, or it's such a small, small percentage compared to how many procedures are done a year. With Joan, and then, you know, some people we're seeing on the streets today, yes, they do take it too far. They become, they have different glasses on. They're seeing themselves differently. They're distorted. And that's where I like to be the barometer, because I'm still a therapist at heart, and I really want to make sure somebody's doing it for the right reasons.
So
they're doing it for themselves.
So you've written this for the layperson, real simple language.
Absolutely. Very, very simple. Very, very easy to read. It's really, it's a rule book, a guidebook. If you're thinking about doing it, how one gets started, and if they decide to do this, what's the steps? You know, from finding the best doctor, what's the right fit for you? And then I take them through every step of the way. So I actually take them in this book from the day they walk into a consultation to the day of surgery and preparing for it, and actually the big journey on healing. Because most people don't take surgery when it comes to plastic seriously. So this book really lays it out. It's very easy to read. It's a little guidebook. It's quick, and it's to keep on your nightstand when you have a small question and say, oh, I forgot to ask this. It answers all your small questions. And what I've learned over the years from my patients and even working for a plastic surgeon, it's the small question that always hangs up the patient. Then they feel, oh, it's too small to call the office. And that's what they get stuck on, and that's what they become obsessed about. And they go, oh, I don't want to call the doctor. Can I drive? Can I not drive? Can I do this? So it answers all those little questions. And it was my patients who made me realize I needed to write this book.
Well, you have witnessed thousands of procedures. You've counseled hundreds of patients before and after procedures. not only are you qualified to write the book, obviously you're qualified to give all kinds of great advice because you've been through it yourself. So is there a big question, like the number one question people ask, for example, is the big question, you know, what is this going to cost me, or how do I find a surgeon, or what is the big question?
Well, those two that you just touched on, you know, the obvious, the name of the book, Do I Need It? Because that always comes out. But it's also, can I afford to do this? Will it hurt? Is there pain? Will there be scars? Can you afford it? I mean, this is not cheap. This is not covered by insurance. So there's so many questions swirling around in someone's head that it becomes overwhelming. And I realize that because over the years, it hasn't changed that much. It's just everyone has these thoughts because when you're electing to do something, am I being narcissistic? Many emotions come into play. So that's why I'm very passionate about this. And it's not an open-ended question or a quick answer. What do I do for a living? You know, I just say I'm a best friend. I'm a babysitter who knows everything about plastic surgery or things of that nature because the questions are endless. And that ultimately frightens people sometimes, and they don't know how to get started. So I try to help them, and sometimes I realize they're not ready for plastic surgery. I call them my merry-go-round patients when they keep going to so many different doctors, and that's telling me they're not ready to do this. And that's fine. If you're not ready, I tell people they should not do it.
Right. Well, and a big question, which is the title of one of your chapters, your last chapter in the book, which I never thought of plastic surgery like this, but it makes sense, and you call it an investment. I mean, how do I protect my investment?
Well, it's true. I mean, depending where you live, obviously, but and what you're having done, it could be from anywhere from $10,000 up to $35,000, especially in a big city. To most people, that's a lot of money. So after you do this and you put yourself through this and you heal and it's not a quick fix, it's not getting your teeth whitened, what do you do to keep it? And there are things to do, like especially your face, better skin products, sunscreen, lifestyle choices. You're not going to go to a fat farm for, you know, 2 weeks, as we used to call it, 3 weeks, lose all the weight and come back and have, you know, fries and a milkshake. So you have to start thinking, okay, this is giving me maybe a jump start. So I'm going to lead a healthier life, or I'm really going to hit the gym, or I'm going to take my vitamins. And, you know, I always say sunscreen, sunscreen, sunscreen is your best friend. So you have to think about, in a sense, protecting this. It's an investment.
We've been listening to Francesca Camp. She's the author of her book, Do I Need It? And What If I Do? Answers to All Your Questions About Plastic Surgery. Francesca, what's the best way to get your book?
Well, it's coming out soon. It's on ebooks. I do have a website also, and it'll be coming hopefully to plastic surgeons' offices, because this works well with all the doctors I work with. It works hand in hand with them. So it will be available within the month, hopefully.
Do you know your website address?
It's www.doineedit.com.
Very, very good. Well, Francesca, it's been our pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Archway Publishing.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com. Helen Wu was born and raised in San Francisco's Chinatown, and after a very difficult upbringing, fighting depression, abuse, and addictions, she finally finds herself genuinely happy inside and out. Helen believes in taking our positive thinking and doing something positive to achieve a positive outcome. She's here to make a positive difference in your life.
to be your game changer, your aha moment mentor. She's ready to help both men and women get into a better place. Helen Wu is also the author of Self-Aid Success Stories, 25 Success Stories from Successful Entrepreneurs. Inspired by Ellen DeGeneres, Helen wants the world to know that just because we find ourselves in a difficult situation doesn't mean we have to stay there. We can aid ourselves to a better life. So join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 Central on toginet.com.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, The Art of Living in Joy. And the author is M. Eric Donlin. And Eric joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Eric.
Good morning. Hi, how are you?
Well, it's great to have you with us. We love to have folks that are filled with joy and filled with passion and can help us learn that, hey, we can have joy as well. I mean, that's what you do for a living, right?
Absolutely. That's why today is a happy Thursday, and every day can be a happy day. Absolutely.
Well, as you point out, joy is our natural state of being. Boy, there's quite a loaded sentence. Natural state of being. And this easy guide will assist you to transform your life by living in the moment, right here, right now. That's what you're all about, right here, right now.
Absolutely. Joy is our natural state of being. And if you can realize that and realize that is where we're really, really meant to be, meant to come from. And if we can center ourselves and feel that, and as I say, get in the moment, which means finding your center, finding your peace inside from which you can go forth from, because when you kind of get in the flow of things, as I say it, kind of like a river or rapids, if they're going downstream, really everything that we want is downstream, meaning we're here to enjoy the ride. We are here to enjoy and participate in every day and to live each moment fully, and as I say, without judgment, because it's that judgment that really complicates things for ourselves. Because as we grow up, we have all these learned negative belief systems, things that we are learning from our parents, from our culture, from our different civilizations, which put a lot of limits on us, thinking that we can't do this or because of this we can't. But I try to remind people to think back when they were a child. Do you remember when you were a child and everything was exciting?
That's for sure.
Everything was limitless possibilities. We were talking about all these new electronic gadgets, and I can't believe kids with these cell phones and their incredible games and electronics. When we were kids, you know, we could take a paper box, put little holes in it, and draw little controls, and we had a spaceship. You know, the imagination is incredible. But we can create from within. The way children know, the possibilities are limitless. But the trouble is, as we go through school and we are almost taught that life is supposed to be hard, that you need to work hard to get what you want. Well, I'm here to show you that there's a much easier path, a much easier way, if you can come from your joy and your happiness and make peace your goal, to really enjoy each moment, get into the present moment, that whole kind of journey becomes much more easy and much more effortless.
Well, let's learn about your path that you've been on and how you reached this point and your experiences, your journey. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you dealt with all the challenges and turned into this life coach, motivational speaker.
Well, it's really, really interesting because as I began the book, I looked back and one of my proud moments was when I graduated high school, I was went to New York City, and I was a commercial actor. I did Broadway, theater, stage, a lot of commercials. I was a model as a teenager. So I had a really, really incredible background. But I did give the graduation speech at my high school in New York City, and began by saying, life is a series of choices. That which we are is that which we have chosen to be, and that which we will become is that which we will choose to become. And I didn't even realize how connected I was back then, but it seems from an early age I was connected to the idea of being in the flow, connected to the idea of my own connection to source. But from there, I got into many different businesses because I loved the challenge. I had fun. And then I had a restaurant, a bakery, antique store, you know, many, many, many different things. And then I got into real estate, and I created with a partner a real estate office down in Florida in Fort Lauderdale. And this was right, it was before the real estate, you could say, collapse in the country, as you know, which brought on a lot of financial challenges. We had a really, really good office up to that point, but it was very financially challenging. And the real change was when we had to close that office. I wasn't sure what to do. And I actually moved back up north to New Jersey. I had another home up there. And contrary to my contemporaries' thoughts, I actually went to work for Starbucks because at the time I needed health insurance, and Starbucks provides good health insurance to their partners. And I still had my real estate broker's license in New Jersey, so I absolutely kept doing that. But basically, it provided me, you know, an opportunity to get health insurance, keep things going, and basically to practice what I preach, because every day I go in, and it was all about experiencing the people every day, having fun. No matter what you're doing, if you can find the joy in it, find the fun in it, let the universe carry you to the next place you need to be. And what eventually happened was I made some wonderful connections with customers there, started selling houses again, which put me back on a good financial path. And but meanwhile, through this, I'd always been connected to personal development, personal growth. It was very important to me to learn about myself, to learn about life, to experience life as fully as I absolutely could. I have a lot of wonderful hobbies. I was a professional skydiver doing four-way formation skydiving. I'm a licensed pilot. I do trapeze and aerial silks, a lot of fun things, because I love to live. And from that point, I was doing more speaking and more seminars, and I was attending a seminar in Mexico, an Effortless Prosperity seminar there, where I did a little speaking and came in contact with a large group of people from China. And the Chinese people are very enlightened and very open to the idea of being connected to the universe and this universal energy that really, really flows through everything. And they were like, well, are you interested in doing this seminar in China? And I was like, yes. And that was almost 5 years ago. I created something called the Joyful Life Seminar, which I've been giving over there on and off through the year, because I travel back and forth between China and America a lot. Started giving seminars over there about my philosophy and basically just the natural law of attraction. What you think about is what you create in your life. And I thought the natural progression was to then put a lot of my experiences and my story down in a book so that I could share it with other people. Because I believe it's important for us to heal ourselves and to heal others. That's really what we're here to do, is to experience life, to heal ourselves so that then we're empowered to go out and help and assist others in their journey, which is really what I would like this book to be and to do, assist others, to empower them, help other people along in their journey.
So what do you say to someone who says, well, Eric, you know, it's easy for you, but I am on this treadmill. I'm not going anywhere. Nothing works for me. I hate my job. I don't see any future. You know, I mean, you could hear the list could go on and on. I mean, there's a lot of people out there. They're just wallowing in all their pity, right?
Absolutely. There are. And then I tried to explain to them, well, I've been there. I know what you're talking about. But I want to say on a day-to-day basis, what are you thinking about? What are you on? And most people will say, I've got this bill, I've got this challenge, I've got these creditors, I've got all these worries, and I can't sleep. This is where my mind is. And I said, exactly. You're perpetuating the problem. You get in life what you think about. Always. Always, always. So what I'm trying to do is to wake people up to realize that we are all incredible creators. We are all responsible for the experience that we're creating. So just as the person in the situation that you described, I try to wake them up to the reality that you're creating that situation. No one is a victim. On some level, we have all chosen and we have all become a cooperative component in the experience that we are having. So there are no victims. So if you can take some responsibility there, I try to wake people up to their responsibility for their situation, because if you realize that you're responsible, take action. Because as you say, these people on a wheel, they believe that they're victims and that they are powerless.
Right.
So if I can help you take back your power and become a conscious creator rather than an unconscious creator, creating by default, then you have a chance to change the circumstance you're currently in by regaining your power. And your power is to focus your mind, focus your actions on something that will improve your situation rather than just complaining and talking about where you are, which is the pitfall that most people get caught up in. They want to complain and talk about where they are, and they keep saying, but this, but that. And I said, if you focus on that, you're going to stay right where you are. You need to change your focus, and you do that right in the present moment.
So this book gives obviously a lot of your experiences and how you took a positive action to break through and just take these experiences as just challenges and not roadblocks.
Exactly. That's where the judgment comes in. If you can take the judgment out, because nothing is really good or bad. Everything just is. But we've learned to ascribe these judgments on things through our beliefs. So if you can kind of take that out and soften the resistance, because basically it's the resistance that's blocking us. So if we can take out the resistance, then we can begin to take back our control to shift a focus where we need to be, meaning, okay, if I know I'm responsible, well, what do I have to do today to make tomorrow better? You know, what is available to me? Basically, wherever you are in your experience, find the best feeling thought that's going to give you some relief. You know, even if it's taking a walk, doing an activity that you enjoy, just to get your mind off of what's perpetuating, you know, what's confusing you. Because then, if you can get back into the flow, you can allow the solutions to come. You can allow the prosperity to come. That's probably the biggest challenge that I find for most of the clients that I deal with, is the issue of worthiness. Worthiness is really important, because, as you say, people are on this wheel often because inside they don't feel worthy of having the blessings come. They don't feel worthy of having the abundance come. And that has to begin inside. That has to begin inside you realizing that you're worth having a good life. You're worth having the blessings come to you. You're worth having fun every day. That's what life is supposed to be. Life is fun. We're just here to experience. Take away the judgment. Nothing's right or wrong. Don't beat yourself up. So many people want to beat themselves up. And I just try to soothe them and say, it's okay. It's okay. It's just experience. It is all just experience. It's contrast. It's contrast which kind of gives us the grist to figure out what we do want, because we create these challenging situations from which we create so many new and wonderful desires, meaning, okay, well, I know what I don't want, so I really have to get clear on what I do want. So through my own experiences, and that's what I try to share with people, because as you said, oh, well, you can do that. No, I've been there. I've had these challenging experiences, and in this experience, what I had to do is come back to the present moment, and even going to work at Starbucks. It was so funny to go from a multi-million-dollar business to serving coffee. But it's just an experience.
Right.
And, you know, I'd go in there, and I'd just be with the customers. Oh, happy Monday, happy Tuesday. And just to really be present with them and connect. And then it brought me relief. It brought me fun. And then through that fun came the connections. And that's what life is all about, these incredible connections, or basically being in the flow. That's just when the things come back. And so I can honestly say now I'm more happier in life than I've ever been, even going through challenging situations, because I learned to get in the moment and to find those golden nuggets, you know, the joys in life, which are there if you look.
Right.
Well, every day there's so many wonderful things that we have to be thankful for. Sometimes people these days are just so busy and so taken out of the moment. I really try to get people to come back and, you know, notice what you're seeing. Look around. Look at the beauty just in walking down the street, the sky. I'm down here in Orlando, Florida, and I tell you, we have some of the most beautiful sunsets. And just to stand outside or sit on my deck and just look at the beautiful colors.
Right. Smell the roses, as they say. Smell the roses along the way, correct?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Whatever it takes to get your mind off of these things, they're perpetuating your problems. You know, let some ease come in. Let some joy come in, and use that as the one positive thing in your life to help pull everything else up.
And thus, the title of your book, The Art of Living in Joy. We've been listening to M. Eric Donlin. Eric certainly is motivated, passionate, filled with joy. You can tell that just from just the short time we've been with you, Eric. Your book, The Art of Living in Joy, tell us the best way to get your book.
Either you go to Amazon.com, Balboa Press directly. Absolutely.
Well, thank you again for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
Thank you very much. It is a joy to be here.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Balboa Press.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.